back at everyone's attention. So we are ready to do part two of the series, which we began 2 weeks ago. I was away last week, but we began with what I called part one of the complicated character of Noach. And as you're familiar with, and we began with by noting, and we'll do so again at the outset of today's shiur, the conflicting evidence in some well-known sources about the overall character and righteousness of Noach, and at the same time, the fact that those sources are not only in their original, but then also are echoed through many other lesser-known sources. And what we did last time was trace the source record that is the pro-Noach camp. Those Makoros, starting with Chazal, through other Midrashim and Gemaros, as well as commentaries and Mefarshim, who see the glass half full when it comes to Noach. That was our topic last time. What I'd like to do this time is what would be for most people the more fun part, which is to be critical of somebody. We love being critical of people. There's nothing more fun than knocking off the ledge or the peg, you know, great people. So in fact, Chazal apparently had their fun with Noach as well in that sense, in all seriousness. And we know that there was another opinion in Chazal, and that has been picked up, and arguably, certainly from the rabbinic sermon perspective, has become over the years maybe even the dominant perspective rabbinically, which is a little bit less charitably inclined towards Noach. And that is our topic for tonight, to trace those sources and try to understand why and where such an impression could come from. I'm going to paraphrase, but you could certainly keep open your chamashim for a moment. We began last week by noting in the opening sukkim of the parsha the fact that the Torah itself attests to the righteousness of Noach. This is no small thing. Right in the opening, we have two references to Noach being a tzaddik tamim. He is righteous completely. Furthermore, es Elokim hatzaleich Noach, he walks with the Lord. I mean, you know, I would sign up right now if I could write. You know, I had an exercise once with leadership kind of a guru, and you know, one of the things they tell you if you want to like plan your life and have goals. So there's different things that sometimes they tell you to do. One of them is write your hesped. You know, what do you envision is going to, you know, would you want that, or for that matter, if you're a little bit more short-handed, write your matseva. You know, what would you want it to say? Here lies who? Who did what? So, if I could pick Tzadik Tamim, I would take it. You know, you can't leave well enough alone. What would drive the Chachamim to look for something else? We saw it a little bit last time, but now, of course, we want to focus more on that angle. So take a look at the top of your sheet. I have given you the paraphrased version of the Medrash Tanchuma. It is that Medrash which is really the source for the well-known Rashi. We saw the well-known Rashi. In fact, Harry, if you could first read the Rashi for us. Everyone open up your Chumashim. Read the Rashi. It was at the second Rashi on the opening Pasuk, Perek Vav, Pasuk Tes. What does Rashi say? Tzadik Tam Hayu B'Darosav. Can you see it, Harry?
Oh, Yesh Merab Hussein, Udar Shimo Sela Sheva.
Right, Lishvach.
Oshken Shigido Hoyah Vidor Tzadikim Hoyah Tzadikim.
Stop. So some rabbis say, how come it says that Noach was righteous in his generation? So some say that it is a compliment to Noach. After all, he was in a difficult situation. Had he been in a more spiritually conducive environment, he would have been even greater.
Yesh Udar Shimo Sela Gnai.
Our topic tonight.
Lefidoro Hoyah Tzadikim.
Right, so really he was a relatively righteous person. Considering the Rishayim around him, he wasn't so bad. But had he been in a situation with other stars, he would have been outshined. That Rashi was coming from, and I paraphrase it for you here, on top of the sheet. We saw it last time, the Medrash Tanchuma, and I just gave you the basics, Yesh Darshan L'Shvach, Yesh Darshan L'Gnai. We saw last time that there were a number of parables that the Midrashim gave. Perhaps this was, you know, a mediocre wine, but he's in a cellar filled with vinegar. So it smells good just because of what's around it, not because of anything in particular. On the other hand, we said, the other opinion, which we focused on last time, said, well, maybe it's like a perfume in a cemetery. And even though you have, you'll forgive me, the rotting bodies or the foul odor of that area, if you can still smell the perfume in the cemetery, imagine all the more so how good it must be if you were in a perfumery. So if it's so good, you could even throw it. So to Noah, who even had a sense of tzaddik with such wicked people around him, that was the positive view. But the negative view was one, as I said, that said, you know, looked good by comparison, but not necessarily or objectively so. I actually, I don't believe I mentioned last time, another primary source, which is why I included it more in depth, which also, again, it's more of a variation on the theme, but since we are a in-depth shiur, I didn't want you to be lacking one of the primary sources. I think I might have forgotten to include it in last shiur, and it has slight variation, which we'll pick up with at the end of the shiur, I hope, tonight. And that is the following. Take a look at the second source on your sheet, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia. They debate this. Rabbi Yehuda Omar Bedoroso Hayatzadik. He was a tzadik in his generation. Hayilu Hayibedoro Shel? Moshe. Right? It's not enough that we compare him to Avram. Now we got to go for the, you know, what's even bigger than Avram? Moshe. That's about it. You can't go higher than that. If he was in the door of Moshe, or Dor Shel Shmuel, Lohaya Tzadik. If he was in a generation of such righteous people, he would not have been considered such. And in fact, here the Medrash gives not only a new comparison, a new standard, Moshe and Shmuel, but also a new parable to us. Beshuk Smaya, if you are in the marketplace of blind people, from Suma, Tzofchin la'avira sagi nahor. You would call someone who has a little bit of vision, but not such great vision, you would call him sagi nahor, someone who is full of light. Of course, it's all relative. And then, gets to the old, more common and familiar mashal, la'echa chayu la'martev echa shalyayin, someone who has some wine, surrounded by wine that was perhaps not good. Although this is a variation of it. Again, for the sake of space, I cut and paste, but the Medrash talks about how if you took one sip of the barrel and it wasn't good, you took another sip of the barrel and it wasn't good, you took a third sip and it was okay, which is what the Medrash refers to here as koses. So Amrin loy koses, it's okay now, the third sip. Amr luhun v'is hacha tav minei. So you said, doctor, you're complaining, you have anything better for me? You know, the first two sips were even worse. Now you're complaining, they add something mediocre? There's nothing better? Amr lay low. Kach b'daros of hayetzadik. You're going to complain and look for here, he has a little bit of a wart there, Noach wasn't perfect there. No, you got anything better? In his generation, he was a tzadik. But b'daros of Shmuel lo hayetzadik. That was the first opinion. Rabbi Nechemia is much more positive. Uma im b'daros of hayetzadik. If in his generation he was a tzadik, he'll have b'daros of Moshe, b'daros of Shmuel, al achas kama v'kama. All the more so would he have been a tzadik. So, no new insight, but new comparisons to Moshe or Shmuel on the one hand, and a slightly different parable. Let me remind you that one of the sources we saw last time, was the Michtav Me'eliyahu. And the point of Rav Dessler is that he will be appreciated more and will be sharpened when we contrast what we saw last time, and I'll remind you, don't worry, with what we're about to see in the next source. Let me first remind you what Rav Dessler said, and then you'll see both you'll appreciate Rav Dessler more, and it'll also be a context to appreciate the next source and just how critical he is of Noach. And that is the following. Rav Dessler made the following insight. We make too big a deal of the machlokas. Yesh rabbis this, yesh rabbis that. Said Rav Dessler, really, 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 everybody agrees. Everybody agrees that Noach was a good guy, but he just wasn't as great as Avram. No, again, not the end of the world. Halavai, that's the worst thing they could say about me, is he wasn't as great as Avram Ravino. Everybody agrees that. In fact, Yesh Dorsner Shalashvach, he says, really, everyone also agrees, and this is the point number two, which we'll see is going to be debated in a moment, but this Rav Dessler said clear, I had it underlined for you, that had Noach been in the generation of Avram, where he certainly would have had more positive influences by none other than Avram himself, he would have been greater than he was in actuality. And in that sense, Yesh Dorsner Shalashvach, since we know he had the potential, it was just stunted by external factors. Had he been in Avram's generation, of course he would have taken advantage of the opportunity to be influenced by Avram, and he would have been greater. What's Yesh Darshan Osol Gnai? Says Rav Dessler, only theoretically. Theoretically. Would it be, Lu Yitzuyer, would it have been that he would have been in Avram's generation and not been influenced and been the same person? I gave you the example last time, right? The men certainly remember, of sports. If you have somebody from a generation ago when no one hit more than 30 home runs in a year, and you put him in the Baltimore's Camden Yards, which is half the size of the old ballparks, and you gave him schlumpy pitchers to throw to him, easy pitchers, and a ball that was corked that could fly a million miles. If even then he didn't hit any more home runs, theoretically, if even then he didn't hit any more runs, Taka, Yesh Darshan Oso Lignai, then that would not be impressive. But that's only theoretical, because we have no doubt. We have any doubt that Willie Mays would hit 70 home runs nowadays? Do you have any doubt that Hank Greenberg would have hit 100 home runs? Of course not. So the Yesh Darshan Oso Lignai said if Tessa was only theoretical, would he been and not grown? Yeah, Taka, that would have been an embarrassment. But everyone really agrees with two things. Number one, he wasn't great as Avram. Okay. And number two is, had he been an Avram generation, he would have been better. The reason we included that Rav Dessler in last year is because fundamentally the general thrust of that piece is pretty much pro-Noach. Contrast that understanding of the Medrash with the Lavush Ora. The Lavush, Mordechai Yaffe is more well known. I've quoted this to you before. He's more well known in a certain sense, I would say, because of his halachic works, also known as the Lavush. And I mentioned before, he's actually a tragic figure a little bit, in that this is just a footnote in history. After the Shulchan Aruch came out by Rav Yosef Karo, so, you know, he felt that he wanted to write a gloss, you know, a compendium to that work, which would be showing why he, in certain places, disagreed. He was working on it at the same time as Rav Moshe Isserlich was in Krakow, working by day and night to write his commentary, which we all know as the Ramah. Fate had it that the Ramah beat him to the printing press. Which is why in the standard page of the Shulchan Aruch, you open up, you see Rav Yosef Karo and Rav Moshe Isserlich, which is my name that you are all familiar with. Because fate had it, Shkocha process had it, that he made it. The way you and I use the word, made it. And the Lavush got consigned to the back of the book. He's in the book, most print standard, but he's in the back of the book. And only the biggest scholars every now and then will study him. So in that sense, his halachic career had a tragic end in terms of that. And he writes about it in his introduction. He writes about it in a human way in his introduction. So he also wrote a commentary, you remember, a super commentary, not on the Chumash, but on Rashi. So on this Rashi, which quoted the Medrash, says the Lavush the following. Vida, he says. And again, this is where, like, you know, you put on your, I'm in the mood to rank out somebody hat, as my kids would say. Vida, shishtei deos elo, these two opinions. Ratzalomer, meaning to say, Hadarshan l'shvach, Hadarshan l'gnai, both of these opinions, nos ninlid noach madrega achas b'tzidkosov. Right? And at this point, he still agrees with Rav Dessler, similar thrust. Really, it's not a debate. They both agree with who Noach was. Ve'enam chalukim b'madregas malas sidkosav shal Noach. They're not arguing about who Noach was. Ve'divrei shneihem lohaya el tzadik beinini. Everybody agrees that he was just a mediocre middle management tzadik. Nothing great. Not from the Gedolim cards, not from the Artzcha biographies. Really, just a Beinoni. Just a Beinoni. Everybody agrees. However, he says, continuing, what do they argue about? Ella de Pligi. On one technical term, they just argue, he says, on the word B'milas B'dorosav. How do you understand the word B'dorosav? He says that, Darish L'shvach, one understands positively, V'omer Shakavanas HaPasuk, that the Pasuk means, Shemhaya B'dorosh Shal Tzadikim, if he would have been in a generation like Noah, like Avram's, V'adahaya Tzadik Yosir Gadol Mimashahaya. He would have been influenced. So which is the same theme we've seen before. But note that the Lavush only says that according to one opinion, whereas according to Dessler, everyone assumed it. It was only a theoretical possibility. Otherwise, says Lavush, no, that's a very real possibility. It could have happened. But the other opinion, Yesh Darsh Lignai Omer, Bidarosa Lafi Doroi, it's only in his generation. What does that mean, only his generation? Velo Haya, I'm sorry, there's a space that's missing. It's a very powerful word, some phrase, so I hope it's clear to you. Lo Haya Aduk, Bitsidkoso. What a striking criticism. He wasn't really so from. He wasn't, Aduk is clinging. He wasn't, or Aduk is clinging. I think that's what he means. He wasn't clinging to his righteousness. It was an incidental, more than central component to who he was. So, you know, he was a tzaddik. He was who he was. He was a pretty good guy. And therefore, because we've already downgraded him so much, says the Lavush, Even would he have been in the generation of Avram, he would not have taken advantage of it, and he would not have been any greater than he was. He would not have learned. I think it really should say Masa, probably means Masa Shel Avram. He wouldn't have learned, he wouldn't have been influenced, and he therefore would have taka been a nobody. Ouch. Right, so he, I would say, goes full barrel against Noach. Number one, he says, everybody agrees, he goes out of his way to say that he was a tzaddik beinoni. Right? Not a great compliment. And then he has a second term, lo aduk b'tzidkoso. Tzidkoso. It wasn't so important to him. In other words, what he's basically saying is, if it was like totally, you know, his passion to be as good as he could have. So you're running up on a down escalator in the generation of Noach, he only got so far. But if that would have been his passion, so you put him on the up escalator, you put him in a conducive environment, and he would have run. He would have flown, I should say. Says the Levush, but that wasn't him. Lo aduk b'tzidkoso. He didn't have that passion for it. He had a little bit of a passion for it. It's not bad. It's not a rasha, chas v'shalom. But he wasn't so motivated. And therefore, he did what he did in that environment, and he would have done what he would have done in Avram's environment. No better, no worse, but no better. Now again, you don't have to say that from the Medrash. You could have read the Medrash like Rav Dessler did. I think they're both very plausible. I don't personally find that one is more definitive than the other. It just shows an orientation, whereas Rav Dessler was much more charitable. The Levush here, Mordechai Yaffe, is much more critical of Noach.
The expression Lo Nechshav Klum, I've been bothered by this, seems to be a contradictory like it's said it used there. Because Nechshav Klum means
it means
zero.
He wouldn't have been considered anything in the eyes of the generation.
Okay. I mean, in other words, it wouldn't have been added, you mean, to the
exception. No. Lohaya Nechshav Klum, if people would have been saying, you know, who's the biggest Talmud Chacham? You know, when people were talking in the back of Shul, like, because they never do that, you know, which rabbi is really a bigger Talmud Chacham, and which rabbi gives better Shurim, and which rabbi is a better Posek. So who knows who Avram would have had competition from. But Noach Lohaya Nechshav Klum. No one would have thought it was Noach. In that generation, he would have been a nobody. That's what it means.
But a tzaddik he wouldn't have been?
No, that's exactly what he says. Lohaya Nechshav Klum, he would have been a nobody. In terms of public perception.
It doesn't mean he was a Russia.
No, Chas v'Shalom, he wasn't a Russia. But the point is, in an environment where you have 100 tzaddik, you know, it's like any yeshiva. You know, if you're in a very mediocre yeshiva, you can learn a little bit, they think you're a Rashka Bahag. Right? You go to a top yeshiva, and all of a sudden, you're a, who are you? You know? If you go in one place.
The fact that the Torah identifies him or describes him with the word tzaddik.
Yes.
I mean, the notion of Beinoni and.
Yes.
You know, this gets a little touchy. I mean, somebody calls somebody.
Yes, I agree.
Tzaddik,
I agree.
That's got to have a lot of.
Again, he was definitely a tzaddik in his generation.
Right, I hear.
That, and even the Levush didn't take that away from him. He just says it wasn't nisht a grace tzaddik. Okay? Now, let's take a look at the next group of sources, which are beyond this. Until now, all we have seen is a variation and interpretation of the famous Rashi and famous Medrash. Yeah, yeah. Now let's take a look at other sources in Chazal, Midrashim specifically, and a Gemara, which also are now not showing a debate, but are further strengthening or piling on to the Yeshme Rabosenu Shadarshan Lignai. This approach, which Harry is not a fan of, but is a at least a strain, if not the dominant strain, in rabbinic thought. So, for example, the Medrash tells us, actually, I take that back, take a look at Rashi. I'm going to borrow your Chumash for a second. We alluded to this last time, I'm sorry. Let's go back to your Chumash for a moment. At the end of the Pasuk, we say, right, that he walked with the Lord, as Elokim his Halech Noach. Right, if you just read Pashup Shat and Chumash, what could be a better compliment, right? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Es ha'elokim hisalech Noach, uba Avram hu omer hishalech lefanai." But by Avram, right? It's already the compare and contrast. By Avram, it says, "I'm 6-7 lines down, first words on the line in Rashi." You have that, are you?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. By Avram, it says in Perek Yud Zayin, not that he walked after the Lord, but that he walked ahead of the Lord. Right? He walked in front of Hashem, lefanai. Says Rashi, what do we see from this? Noach hayetzarech sa'ad l'tomcho. Noach needed someone to hold him up. He needed support. Noach needed help. He needed to be schlepped along. What's Pshat? He was walking behind Hashem. Hashem was schlepping him along. But Avram was running ahead, did not need to be pushed. It reminds me of a leader in the shul who at one point a few years ago, when there was a certain controversy raising, and the person called me and he wanted to show his support for me and said, "I want you to know, Rabbi, I'm behind you 100%. I said, "I appreciate that, but there's only one problem. The bullets come from the front." You know? So to hear, says Rashi, Noach was with Hashem, but behind him. That's better than not being anywhere near him. But it's not as good as Avram, who walked in front of Hashem. Again, a very succinct comment of Rashi. Where is he getting it from? A more lengthy comment of the Medrash. Take a look at the Medrash, first source in section Beis. Again here, however, the Medrash itself quotes a debate. The same Rabbi Huda and Nehemiah, and Rabbi Nehemiah, who were debating in the Medrash on the second source on your sheet. Why? They say it's comparable to the following. A king has two sons, Echad Gadol v'Echad Katan. He's walking to shul, walking through the street with his two sons. He's got one who's 10 and one who's 5, let's say. Amar l'Katan, so the king says to his little baby boy, Halechi mi, you walk next to me, right? His little baby, we got to make sure he's safe and doesn't get lost and doesn't get hurt. You walk next to me. For Amar l'Gadol, Bava halach l'fanai. Whereas the older boy is allowed to run ahead. Kach Avram shaya kocho yafa. So to Avram, he's like the older brother, even though he's born later. But he's like the older brother. He could walk ahead of Hashem. And that's the pasuk there. Aval Noach shaya kocho ra. Noach was spiritually, and again, check the lashon Harry. He was ra. Kocho ra. He was weak. He could only be a tzaddik if Hashem helped him along, if Hashem propped him up. That's why it says, Hisalik Noach, he's like the little boy. That is the first opinion in the Medrash. Medrash continues. Rabbi Nehemiah Amar, Mashul Ohavo, a different parable. Shal Melech, a beloved friend of the king. Shayim Ishtakea Betit Ava. He gets caught or stuck in some very sticky mud. He sees that Melech Oroso. So the Melech comes by, excuse me, and he sees him stuck. What does he say to him? Amar lei, ach ata mishtakeya betit, haleichimi, you're getting yourself all verklempt and verschmutzed by yourself. Come with the royal escort, you walk with me, you'll be fine. Hadohu dichsev, who's that referring to? Esalokim is haleich Noach. That's Noach, because he is, you know, needs help. Hashem has to pull him out of the dirt. Lama Avram doma la'ava shamelech. But Avram is also compared to a beloved friend of the king, but in a different one. Shira es hamelech mahalech b'mavaos afelim. He notices that the king is walking through a dark alley at night. Heitzitz o'avo, sticks his head out. V'hidchil meir alav derech hachalon. So he's looking out his window, and he takes out a lantern or a torch to lighten up the walkway so that everyone should know. The commentators on the Medrash point out that what's being implied here is that when he walks in the dark, no one can see him. So no one's, you know, standing at attention and giving cover to the king, because at night, in dark, he looks like a regular person. But when the one who loves the king sends this torch and sends the lantern out, and everyone, the king is coming, the king is coming, and everyone comes out to greet him and shows proper respect. So he took the initiative to help the king. I suppose in the other case, the king had to help him. And therefore, says the Medrash, Amar lo, the king says, Temacha tameir li derech alon, I appreciate it. He calls up, dear friend, you're doing the light from the window. So, ba v'heir lefanai, what do you need to be up in the window for? Come walk together with me. And if you want to really care about my covet, walk together with me, it'll be even more effective. Kach omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Avram, so to Hashem says to Avram, Acha tehei meir li mei, who can read that word? Mesopotamia! I think that's what it means. Mesopotamia umachvorte. Mesopotamia and the other environs nearby. In the ancient world, you're around these Ovdei Avodah Zarah in the ancient world, and you're spreading my light. You're teaching monotheism. Bavaher lefanei Beretz Yisrael. Come be closer to me. Come to my land. Lech lecha me'artzecha me'muadetcha. Come leave your land and come to be my home. Come with me to Eretz Yisrael. So, very beautiful, vivid Midrashim, but again, not the same type of Medrash as we saw before, not on the same comment, Bedorosav. Now we have a little bit later in the Pasuk, but from this Medrash, this Rashi, excuse me, this Medrash, yes, we have the same debate, and according to the Medrash, at least, the same opinions even. Namely, do you look at it and find a positive way to look at Noach, or do you look at a negative way? And the bottom line is, there seems to be a general thrust, especially in this Medrash, and certainly the way Rashi formulates it, as being much less even-handed, and much more critical, at least relatively so, of Noach. That's number one. But we're just getting started. The pylon has only begun. Comes the next source, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and says the following. Af Noach nechtam gzardin. Originally Noach had the same decree as everybody else. He was going to be killed in the flood. Shene emar, because the Pasuk says, v'lo Noach ba. It's a Pasuk in Yechezkel. It does not mean the word Noach at all in the Pasuk in Yechezkel, but without getting to the details, you take a look at the Gemara and the Pasuk. The Gemara very much darshans, very non-literally, that Pasuk to allude to the fact that Noach should have been included in a punishment. Furthermore, the Medrash here gives a little bit more detail. The Gemara says it more further. It's also stated, Tana Debe Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael's taught, Af al Noach nechtach gzardin. So too, again, Noach was originally paskin that he should die. Ella, but what saved him? Hashem had a soft spot for him. Hashem liked him. He was the teacher's pet. Shinemar, as the pasuk says, which psukim are these? The last psukim in Parshas Bereishis. Nichamti ki asisam. Hashem says, I regret having created them. Kama, but Noach matzachein b'nei Hashem. So when we read the psukim, the simple pshat is that there's a major but there. I regret making the rest of mankind. But Noach, he found favor in my eyes. The Medrash reads it with a much smaller but, or with maybe no but or no comma at all. Namely, if you're talking about you're regretting mankind, so why put Noach in a pasuk like that? It's very negative. So the Medrash reads it, according to this Tani de Beis Shmuel, as a backhanded compliment. Noach found favor in the sense that he got a get-out-of-jail-free card. He got a, I'll be saved from the flood card. But not because he really deserved it. Fundamentally, v'nichamti, Hashem's regret, even applied to Noah. Now, as a P.S., what's bothering me slightly about this Gemara, I hope should be bothering all of you, which is, if he was really so bad, then why was he matzachein v'nei Hashem? And the Gemara doesn't tell us. So, obviously, he had some zechusim, even according to this Gemara, but apparently they weren't enough that would have objectively given him a positive judgment. But given the fact that he did at least something right in such a dark and devious environment, Hashem appreciated it. That's my read of the Gemara. One way or the other, it's quite shocking. And Harry, quite a long way away from Tzadik Kamen B'Dorosav. Says the Gemara, he had the same sock din as the rest of his generation. Maybe he wasn't as wicked as them, but he was certainly not the big Tzadik that we might have liked or might have thought. This same comment in the Gemara is echoed in a short medrash in the next source, again on the same pasuk, that I regretted creating mankind, etc. What is Noach doing in the same pasuk as such a condemning, critical pasuk? Ismaha, the Gemara, the medrash asks a one-word question, which is basically saying, what's up with that? And it's a wonder, why would you put Noach on the same pasuk as such a critical, condemning pasuk? Says the Medrash, El Afilo Noach, Shnishtayer Mehem, even Noach who survived, Lo Shehaya Kedai. It wasn't that he was worthy, El Shematzachain, but he had a soft spot with Hashem. Wow, oh man. And then if you thought it couldn't get any worse, it does. Look at the next Medrash, Amar Rav Simon. Rav Simon says, "Patzino shakadosh baruch hu osa chesedim achronim b'schus harishonim." We know that a principle, not only of history, but I would call it a theology, is that Hashem will reward children or descendants for the good deeds of their parents or their ancestors. Right? We say it all the time. Right? Zechus avos. We ask Hashem to reward us, to save us in the merit of our forefathers. That concept we have, says the Medrash. Minayin shakadosh baruch hu osa harishonim b'schus achronim. Do we have a concept? Asks the Medrash. Think about this theologically. Or we would reward or benefit one generation, even though they don't deserve it. But because we know of what's coming down the pike, future generations, we want to preserve this line, this family line, this yichus, not because they deserve it, but because we can look into our crystal ball and know that the Ura'enikul, the great-grandchild, is going to be a great tzaddik. Is there such a concept in Jewish theology? Would we mitigate and suspend someone's punishment because he's going to have a great granddaughter or a great grandson who's such a tzaddik or tzaddikas? We never heard of that, says the Medrash. Yes, we have an example that such a thing does exist in Jewish theology. What is that? Noach matzachein b'nei Hashem. What does that mean, Noach found favor? Not that he did something. Be'ezus chus, b'ezchus toldosav. There was going to be tzaddikim, righteous people coming from Noach. So we want that tzaddikim, we want the yichus, we want the children, the great-grandchildren. Oh, we'll save Noach. But says the Medrash, thus is Alice. That's it. You want to know why was Noach saved? Because he was going to have some tzaddikim in his family line. That's it. We have zoomed way past without stopping and pass and go. Noach being a tzaddik. Now he's only being saved because he had children. And just to finish the thought, take a look at one more medrash. Amar Rav Chanina bar Papa, afilu Noach shenishtayer mehem lo shehaya kedai. And strong language. Noach was not deserving of being saved. Ela shetzipa kadosh baruch hu shemosha osed lamon mimenu. It's a variation of the theme. Hashem wanted that there should be a Jew named Moshe Rabbeinu who would come into the world. Well, biologically speaking, you know, genetically speaking, it had to be a DNA line from Noach. Could Hashem have started the world over? He would have. But then there wouldn't have been a Noach. And then if there wouldn't have been a Noach, genetically, there couldn't have been a Moshe. Tzipa kadosh baruch hu shemoshe asad lamimenu. Hashem wanted Moshe. He was so special. Hashem said, I'm willing to keep Noach alive. What's the implication? Even if he didn't deserve it, because I want what will come out of him generations and generations later with Moshe Rabbeinu.
So it begs the question, how to keep somebody alive, so we had to get some credit for it.
No, who said? Why couldn't he start the world over?
No. You're right. He couldn't start the world over. But he had to keep somebody alive. In other words, if we're agreeing, he had to keep somebody alive.
Why are we agreeing? Who agreed? I don't know.
No, it should seem like Moshe Rabbeinu.
I don't think you're stressing the Mimenu. I'm not stressing the Mimenu.
No.
I'm stressing the Tzipa Moshe. He wanted Moshe.
Right.
I'm assuming, this is my read of the Medrash, that Moshe, from a biological, genetic perspective, Moshe had to, you can't get Moshe if you didn't have, isn't that true genetically?
No. I'm saying there's a...
If there wouldn't have been whoever my great-great-grandfather was, you couldn't have had me. Right? But he wouldn't have had Moshe. In other words, Moshe had to come from just a scientific perspective. I'm not saying that miraculously he couldn't have made Moshe. That's what you're saying?
No, he could have started a whole new generation.
Right, but they wouldn't have been Moshe, no? In other words, Moshe as a biological creation. Am I not correct? Again, we're reading a lot into the Medrash.
But certainly could have made someone biological.
Who's just as good as Moshe.
Hashem wanted to make someone genetically identical to Noah, certainly.
He could have cloned him.
Yeah.
Could have taken a sheep, yeah. Saved Dolly, and okay, it could be.
It was a bit surprising, Rabbi White. It didn't say, Abraham was he living? I mean, Abraham.
Right, it was Moshe, right? Right.
I mean,
okay, that's a separate point. Yes, okay.
Because we have compared before. No, Abraham.
Yeah, Abraham is Ovi, right? Well, that's exactly my point, that we see that there is a commingling of sources between Moshe and Avram. That's true. Listen, it could be, that's how I read the Medrash. It could very well be that your point is well taken, and that from strictly speaking, it didn't have to be. But that, I don't think, is a problem for the Medrash. It actually just highlights the essential point of the Medrash, which is going so far as to read out any merit due or owed to Noah himself as the source of his salvation, and read into it some future interests. Whether you get hung up on Moshe or somebody else, the point is that Noach himself, Eino Kedai, he didn't deserve it. So we've come from Tzadik Tamim B'Dorosav, Es Elokim Es Halach Noach. We've come from Yesh Dorshin Oso L'Shvach, that wow, he's like perfume surrounded by a grave, who was such a tzadik that even surrounded by Rishayim and Mushchosim and Prutzim, he was still able to be such a tzadik. We've come from all of that, all the way down to the fact that he didn't deserve it. He was only saved for his children, for his great-grandchildren, for Moshe. Now you know why these sources are.
That's a big question. Wouldn't it be a big question why did he have to say to anybody?
In general, you're saying it's a question. Absolutely, it's a question. We haven't gotten to that yet. But that is absolutely a question. Absolutely. But given that he saved Noach, the question certainly begs itself, why? So the obvious answer is that he must have deserved it. And there's plenty of text to support that. The Chiddush is all the texts that seem to be going out of their way either say he deserved it, but that doesn't mean he's a great guy, or, and again, I ordered these texts deliberately, we've now reached a crescendo where it's that he doesn't even deserve it himself.
It's still difficult to reconcile that particular view with, again, with Pshat and the Pusik.
So I knew where you're going, Harry. I know.
I mean, you know, there clearly he had to have something in himself.
It's all relevant. No, exactly. Harry, that's the point. These opinions, whether they're from Chazal or more contemporary, all stress the word Bedorosa, and they believe that qualifies everything. It's all relative. If I were to describe, again, it sounds a little bit grotesque. I don't want to give a specific example, but if I were to describe a certain band of thieves, you know, or certain things, and that's the tzaddik of the group. We sometimes talk that way. Doesn't mean it's a tzaddik. It just means I'm the group. And any other group would be a rasha. Or at least not a tzaddik. And that's what this whole school of thought says. Now, what we haven't yet gotten to, which is what I want to spend the rest of the time on, is, well, let's assume it's all true. Or one variation of it, some form of it's true. What did he do? What was so bad about him? He didn't make brachas. He didn't say Asher Yotzer. I mean, what was so bad about Noach that he wasn't as great as Avram, or perhaps even worse? What was he lacking? So the truth is that the typical answer to this question, the typical rabbinic sermon, by yours truly included, I gave him this discussion before, about Noach, when we take this approach, usually assumes one explanation, which it's perhaps not so well known, really has its source not in what we would call a mainstream commentary, as much as its main source comes from the Zohar. The Zohar in Tyan, this is perhaps the first, and I would assume the last time you'll see me quoting Zohar, specifically four of them on your sheet. But the Zohar consistently hammers Noach. And hammers Noach with the exact same specific criticism, which we have not yet seen. What was so bad about Noach? Why wasn't he as good as Avram? Just that he wasn't? Why not? What about him? So the Zohar is the one that has a very specific and dominant theme. The Zohar is in a number of places. For example, the first source speaks about the Yigash Avram, quoting the pasuk where Avram confronts Hashem to argue with him, Im Tisbet Tzadik Im Rasha. So the Medrash continues and says, I'm used to that, the Zohar. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Man Chama Abba Terach Menusak Avram. Have Mira Abba, in other words, has anyone ever seen a Rachman, somebody as merciful as Avraham? After all, by Noach, there's something very different. When Hashem says to him, Kate Kol Basar, when Hashem actually gives the decree to Hashem, to Noach, that the end of the world is coming, Aselcha Teva Sate Gopar, you should make for yourself the ark. Ishtik, Noach was quiet. V'lo Amar Le Midi, he didn't argue whatsoever with Hashem. Follow boy Rachme, and he didn't beg for mercy for the generation. As opposed to Avram, Beshaited Amarle Kuchabrichu, when Hashem told him, Zakas Sodom Va'amora Ki Rabba, that the evil of Sodom and Amora is wicked. What did he say? You know, Erdanav Ereh, and Hashem's going down to look with the angels. Miyad Ksiv, what is the next thing the Torah tells us? Avram approaches and argues, Af Tispe Tzadik Im Rasha. Further commenting on the theme, says the Zohar that at the end of the flood, Noach comes out of the ark, takes a look around, and with unmitigated gall, says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did you do? Take a look. How did Hashem answer Noach? When he left the ark, he sees the world completely barren and bereft and destroyed. You see where I am? I'm on the second Zohar, second line. His chalivkos, Noach, all of a sudden starts crying. Editorial insert, crocodile tears. He starts crying. V'amar, Ribono Shalolam, Hashem, Master of the Universe, Nikresa Rachum? You call yourself merciful? Hayelach al-Racham al-Briyoscha, why didn't you have mercy on your people, on your creations? Hishiva HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem answered back, V'omer, Raya Shaita, Hashta Amrit Da? You foolish shepherd, you missed the boat. It's too late. Now you say something to me? Lama lo Amrit B'Shaita. Why didn't you say something when it could have made a difference? It's always easy to open up your mouth after the fact. Right? Heroes say something when it can make a difference. That's Hashem's answer. But again, Moshe Nachat, the chutzpah, that's Hashem. Again, the Zohar says a similar criticism. Furthermore, in the next source, a third Zohar. Zohar says, Ma Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ba'orei, come and see, Ma Bein Tzadikim, Shehayu Lahem, L'Yisrael, Achar Noach, Ubein Noach. Right? Draws a line in the sand between leaders, i.e. our so-so leaders that we had in Noach, and all the future leaders of Klai Yisrael who apparently learned the lesson and improved upon Noach's leadership. After all, Noach lo hegin al doro. Noach did not defend his generation, for lo hispalol aleihem ka'avraham, and didn't defend or daven for them like Avraham did. After all, Avraham hir b'tachnunim lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham davened and davened and davened and davened. Furthermore, that was not only Avraham, but later, we read about it just a few weeks ago in Parshas Kisisa, Moshe bispalel. Noach, Moshe came, Amad b'peret, as Tillim says, he stood in the breach. By Machaini Nami Sivracha, as we spoke about that Shabbos. He says, erase me from your book. I don't want to go down without, I'm not letting them go down without me. If they go down, I go down also. Moshe put himself in front of Hagin Aldoro, defended his generation. So there is the major, major contrast to Noah. Again, a third Zohar, if I could offer a sentence I never thought I'd utter. It's a Zohar Lishitaso. The Zohar is consistent time after time with the same criticism. It's interesting that this Zohar adds an interesting postscript. Sataka, why not? Right? We asked, why is Noach not as great as Avram? So we now know the Zohar's answer. But let's get greedy and beg the second question. And why didn't Noach do it? Fascinating. What does the Zohar say? Am Rabbi Yeshua ma ra'a Noach shlabig eshrach maldoro? Did he not care? Was he obtuse? Was he cruel? No. Amr balibo ulai lo amalek. Maybe I won't be effective. Maybe it won't work. Tchsev, as the pasuk says, ki oska reisi tzadik lefanai bedor hazeh. Kolomer lefi hador. That Noach himself, this is fascinating. Do you understand how exciting this is? The Zohar is reading into the criticism that we have seen from Rashi. That maybe he wasn't a real tzaddik, but just lefi hador, relative to the generation, says the Zohar, that saint, that wasn't second-guessing by Rabbanim in Bavel, thousands of years later. It was the anxiety, and more precisely, the insecurity that Noah himself felt at the time. Who said, I'm worthy? Maybe I know I'm getting saved. Obviously, Hashem, you know, gave me the wink and the nod. Maybe that's not because I really deserve it and I'm really righteous. Maybe it's only relative to everybody else. Maybe Noah said the same question that Susan asked before. Maybe Hashem has to save somebody. Oh, so he saved me. But that I should argue with him for everybody else? I'm not like tzaddik like that. He was insecure. Some of you may recall, and if not, you can go online because I published this drasha years ago. I can't remember, it was 4 or 5 years ago. My parshas Noach drasha then was from the Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, who comments that in a Rashi, which we'll see eventually, that when the water of the flood actually builds, so Rashi comments that Noach had to get schlepped by the water into the Teva, into the Ark, because he was Mikatne Amunahaya. He wasn't really a believer. So a simple understanding of that medrash, which makes no sense, was that he really didn't believe the flood would come. It's not going to really, it'll stop raining, come on, a flood, the whole world, come on. He didn't really believe. That's hard to believe, because he just spent all those years building an ark. But we'll worry about that Rashi when we get to it. But Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, and I have to go back and look to see, I don't remember, does he quote a Zohar? But this is Taka what he says. Mekatnei Amuna, Noach was of the little believers in himself. He didn't believe in his own worthiness to be saved. And he adds, to answer this critique, so now that I'm thinking about it, he probably does, Rav Levi to quote the Zohar, he asked the question, Taka, why didn't Noach fight back? argue with Hashem. So Leib Yitzchak said very powerfully and obviously, it takes more than a little chutzpah to fight with Hashem. You have to be brimming with self-confidence to do that. Noach didn't have the self-confidence that Avram had. So what started at the beginning of the process of just not having the confidence to argue with Hashem, Leib Yitzchak, and he's definitely saying more than the Zohar, it snowballs, so years later, when the flood actually comes, not only does he not perceive himself as worthy to fight for a humanity, he doesn't even think that he's worthy to be saved himself. I think whether that's correct shot in the Zohar, the Medrash, let alone the Chumash, I don't know. But one thing it is, it's correct in the psychological human nature shot. The line between insecurity and humility is sometimes so fine that it's easy to miss. And when people have an unhealthy sense of humility or insecurity, it's never static. It usually snowballs over time. And says Rav Yitzchok, that's what happened to Noah. And whether you go so far as that, that's what the Zohar added here. But the bottom line is the big three, the main three comments of the Zohar, which is picked up by numerous commentaries, is, but again, I could be that the first one was the Zohar, picked up by many commentaries, that the main criticism of Noah was, why was he as great as Avram? Not that, Avram had a longer Shemon Esrei than him, but that he had a greater passion and care and willingness to fight for people, and not just say, Sekhmir, I'm okay, I'll be saved. Noah was not that kind of person. We have no evidence, in fact, he's condemned for not going out and not trying to save the people. It's interesting, and we'll read the final sources now. We saw already in some of the earlier sources that, you know, it's bad enough that he has to answer the Avraham question, Noah, but according to other sources, he's got to answer the Moshe question. So sure enough, in a more striking parallel, a later Medrash also makes the point specifically, not wondering, but very specifically and condemningly, comparing Noach to Moshe, and says the Medrash, it's no contest. Chaviv Moshe mi Noach. Moshe is more beloved than Noach. Why? Because Noach begins his career how? Ish Tzadik, right? Harry's favorite pasuk. But yet, how does the parsha end? When Noach, what happens at the end of the ark? He gets drunk. In one way or another, he gets totally emasculated by his own children. And how is he referred to at the end? An Isha Dama, man of the earth, which the Medrash understands does not just mean that he was a farmer. It means he was debased. So that was where he went, from being a tzaddik to being debased. That was his trajectory, downward. But Moshe, what's the first thing we hear about him? He's an Ish Mitzri, right? He starts off with just being an Egyptian, but by the end of his career, Ish Elohim, a man of God. Also a trajectory, but in the opposite direction. What's the difference between Moshe and Noah? So there's a Meshech Chachma, which I would have put on the sheet, but you'll notice there's no room. But there's a Meshech Chachma. This I spoke about in Shul just this year, Parshas Noah. Just a few months ago, I used this Meshech Chachma. So I'm sure, of course, you all remember it and loved it. So the Meshech Chachma doesn't talk about Avram. The Meshech Chachma talks about Moshe. But wouldn't you know it? What's his criticism of Noah relative to Moshe? The same point. Namely, that Moshe was a man of the people. He may not have been as down-to-earth as his brother Aaron, but where did he live? With the people in the desert for 40 years. That was not a simple career path for Moshe. You might have thought that hanging around such a difficult people for 40 years in the desert would have hurt his spirituality. He says, Meshech Chachma, no, Kamash Malan. If a tzaddik is out with the people, being Marbitz Torah, giving Musar, pastoring to them, he'll grow in his own from kite. He'll become an Ish Elohim. Noach, on the other hand, isolated himself from everybody. He was in a teva. He was alone afterwards. No interaction with people. No positive influence on people. And therefore, that didn't just not help him, but actually stunted or retarded his own growth. And he actually went in a downward spiral. So the same classic criticism based on the Zohar that many commentaries used to compare Noach to Avraham, the Meshech Chachma based on this Medrash, hits him again, compared to Moshe. Now let's conclude with some comments that my Rebbe, Rabbi Rosenzweig, wrote up a few years ago in a Dvar Torah, which is available on the internet, on the Torah Web website. I am happy to say that I believe I was there in person when he gave this year for the first time. Let me clarify. I know that I was there. I believe it was the first time he may have given the Dvar Torah. But I remember one of the years I was in the Shir, he gave Dvar Torah on the Thursday at Parshas Noach, and he it's a magnificent, magnificent Dvar Torah. It's worth noting. I just want to share with you two or three points from this published Dvar Torah. He makes the following points. Chazal speculate whether Noach's spiritual attainments would not have been even more impressive had he lived in Avram's generation, right? Some say, Tarshan L'Shvach. It is important, however, says Rosenzweig, to note that even those who argue that Noach would have benefited from that more conducive environment appear to be suggesting that he would have been positively affected by that exposure. But even they, even the most positive view of Noach, do not project that Noach's influence in shaping the destiny of those around him would have been enhanced. In other words, says Rosenzweig, this same point, the godless of Avram wasn't what he accomplished for himself, but how he affected other people around him. Even the most complimentary and positive understanding of Noah, which we saw last time, points out Rosenzweig, they only said that he would have been what? Influenced by Avraham to become greater than he was. But there's no one, no source that suggests that had he been in the environment of Avraham, he would have become an Avraham-esque personality, one who impacts on and inspires others. Even the Darshan L'Geshvach don't say that. So you have, even under the most optimistic of understandings, and the positive understandings, excuse me, not optimistic, positive, you have a qualitative inferiority and difference between him and Avraham. Furthermore, the contrast to Avram's pivotal role is stark. Avram is credited as the father of monotheism, having single-handedly rediscovered the divine presence. Moreover, he initiated and sustained the quest for spirituality, motivated others to join his mission, and literally transformed their lives. As opposed to Noah's legacy, which focuses on his own status and survival. And I remember this as if it was yesterday, because I was so struck. It's a little bit drushy, but I was so struck. I still remember being in Shir when Rosenzweig said this. This exact point we're about to read. What does the Pasuk say when it talks about Noah? We asked the question, but he is looking at it from a completely different perspective than we did at the time. Eila told us Noah. We asked the question, does it mean children? Does it mean happenings? Eila told us Noah. What are the descendants? What is the legacy of Noah? What's the next thing the Pasuk says? Noah. No, the first thing is no. Because what was his ultimate legacy, says Rosenzweig? Himself. True, he did something to himself, but that's it. While Avram's active role in shaping the values and destiny of his progeny, Eila told Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram, holy des Yitzchak. The legacy of Avram is not what he did for himself. It's what he was able to influence and to others and pass on. That was holy des Yitzchak. That's what's accented. So the contrast of the Eila toldoses, says Rosenzweig, in that little subtle nuance of the Pasuk, Eila toldos Noach, Noach, Avram, holy des Yitzchak, that contrast and that little nuance, that says it all. Avram was about influencing others and a legacy. Noach was about himself. Noach, and listen to this language, is essentially a crisis manager and survivor, albeit one entrusted with the crucial role of ensuring continuity. He did an important thing. There would have been no continuity of human entity without him. The only way he can respond to the crisis of Kate's Kol Basar Balafanai, of Hashem deciding the end has come, is by insulating himself in the ark and literally and figuratively riding out the storm. Avraham Avinu, on the other hand, is an idealistic visionary passionately devoted to transforming the world into an arena for Hashem's Kedusha, accenting Elokei Haaretz, the God of the earth, fully committed to spreading spiritually ambitious teachings of the Torah. I can't do better than that. We'll end on that note. Yemar Tov Hashem, I'll see you next week.